Just let me read the English translation. Text 40. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, or a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Text 41. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Gurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So what's special about text 41?
So
what happened? What did he decide after reading this particular text?
He would follow the directions of his guru, come here and preach Shri Krishna.
So once he, when he read this one, it, you know, to just, you know, that's it says, the translation says, his aim is, it became one. Even he was a grihastha like, right, all of us. But when he read this one, his aim was, you know, fixed. That just follow his spiritual master's instructions. And what was the, and his spiritual master was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what was his instruction for Srila Prabhupada?
Since you know English, why don't you use this knowledge to spread the word?
So he told, when he met in the first meeting itself, when Prabhupada, he was a student just out of the college. So his friend invited him to the program, like a satsang program. And Srila Prabhupada told him, I have seen many saints, because Srila Prabhupada's father, he used to call many, you know, sadhus and all to his home. Right? So he has seen the art of fake sadhus and all that time. So that's why Prabhupada told his friend that, you know, I have seen so many sadhus, so I don't want to come. You know, it's just, you know, maybe one more fake sadhu or something. Then his friend told, no, you come, you'll really like it. Then he went to the first meeting. So Prabhupada was sitting in the back of the, you know, in the group. He was sitting in the back. Then after the class, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was looking at Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada came closer, and Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, you look like a, you know, educated man. So why don't you, you know, use your knowledge or English to take this knowledge and go and spread throughout the world. So that's the only thing which, you know, he got fixed up on that one. Then whatever we saw after, right? 65 he came here. This is all because of that. And he also mentioned in his lot of letters, the only thing, credit, he said, you know, he never took credit for anything actually. You know, he wrote Bhagavad Gita, I wrote Srimad Bhagavatam or translated. Only thing he told is, the only credit I have is, I followed my spiritual master instruction. That was the only credit I can take without changing his instruction. So he mentioned that.
Strong faith.
Oh yeah, it's a very strong. And this is what? It's Vyavasayatmika Buddhir. So what's the definition of Vyavasayatmika Buddhir?
Resolute in Krishna consciousness.
More.
There's one line in the purport.
In the purport, Prabhupada says, first line.
Strong faith.
Means
one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life. It is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence.
Definition of faith?
Unflinching trust in something.
And what else? What are the main points?
40,
this is 40. 40
also. What are the few take home points of 40?
40 is about your spiritual account being continuous, and any effort you put into it is not diminishing. It always accrues to you from one to the other. It talks about the how the soul, when it goes from one birth to the other, whatever Krishna conscious effort you put into it, it doesn't reduce or it increases.
So when you leave the body, next birth you take,
it will start from there.
And Prabhupada mentions, like, you know, 1% you do, next time it will start from 2%.
Yeah.
And what happens to the people who kind of like that? What kind of opportunity they get?
Philanthropist or they're born in philanthropist family or born in Vaishnava family?
Philanthropy?
Aristocratic
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And they indulge in, they're born in aristocratic families and they indulge in philanthropic activities, or they are born in, even if they are more lucky, they are born in Vaishnava families.
Yeah. First of all, it's so rare to get the, that's why it says at least one is sure to get a chance in as a human being also. That's also very rare. And if you have done any service, like in basically, pure devotional service, you will take birth in a very cultured Brahmana families where the conditions are good for you to just pick up. Like for example, all of our kids. So when they are born or, they are already there, so you automatically they get all the facilities. They don't have to, try on their own. Faculties is already there. Going to, for example, hearing to Srimad Bhagavatam class, coming to temple and taking prasadam, that's very important, right? So all the faculties, they already have it. So that's why very rare, the kids who take birth in very pious families especially. And also Prabhupada says rich aristocratic families. So he mentions that Prabhupada also was born in one of the Bengali, very well-off Bengali family. So he didn't have to worry about, food, all the facilities and all. So that also it makes, easier to take up devotional service.
What hope does this verse give us, Papi?
Whatever we'll do, it's accountable forever.
Mm. And also we are not under pressure, what if I don't complete, Because materially, if you don't complete something, it's waste.
Correct.
Like if some contractor is given a job to build a temple, if he builds 90% and leaves, is it done? But whereas here, even if I don't complete 100%, it's not lost.
Actually, even if you do 99% good, 1% if you, in a temple, right? For a construction, if you take, you do 99% good, 1% you don't finish or don't do it properly, people will talk about actually that 1% mostly. They don't talk about 99%. That's the mentality actually. Yeah. That's true, right? Everybody picks
the negative point. Negative.
Yeah, the negative things they usually take it. That's what.
Prabhu, I don't know who said this. If you take a big white paper, put a black dot on it, everybody will just see the black dot.
Yeah, they say they forget about what. Yeah, the moon, right? The moon is so beautiful. Some people, they point whatever the marks you see on the moon, they see, say, there's a scar on the moon.
Did we discuss some examples about this? Like how people continue Krishna consciousness?
Ajamila, right?
Ajamila.
We discussed about Ajamila.
Yeah. Okay, we didn't discuss about Bharat Maharaj.
No, pretty much.
Oh, the deer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you told the story for something else. Which one?
Does anybody remember?
No.
Anybody want to tell? Anything?
I know a little bit.
Yeah.
He did a lot of pious activities and initially, and then when he left.
He was devotee. He came a King Bharat Maharaj.
Bharat Maharaj.
And then, I don't know, there are many Bharat Maharajas, I think. I don't know which exactly. But he came on, he's in devotional service, bhakti, everything. He came to the platform of Bhava. Right? And then. But on his own, alone, he was practicing devotional service in forest, not in association of devotees. Alone he was practicing. He renounced all kingdom, everything, and alone he was practicing.
One day he saw a baby deer, mother deer, was chased with some animal or whatever, and then she left the baby deer near a pond, and then she left. So he took that baby deer, and then he brought it up. So gradually he had attachment with the deer. It gradually grew because he was taking care of it.
And gradually he started stopping his spiritual activities and replacing with activities to take care of the deer. Then finally, one day the deer ran away somewhere, so he was searching after the deer and he fell off a cliff and then he passed away. So the last thought he had was about the deer. So that's why next life he has to take up as a deer. Because whatever Krishna says, you did discuss that verse, whatever thoughts you have in the moment of death, that's what you will have, right? That's what birth you will take. So then he became a deer, but what protection? Krishna says that, you know, I'm going to protect you, right? What protection he got is, as a deer, he remembers his past life. So then he went through that life, and next life he became as a human being called Jada Bharat. Jada Bharat means, Jada is like madman, I think. Murk, right?
Yeah.
So what he did, so in this life he knew now, okay, I made a mistake, I didn't perfect my life, and again I had to take birth. So now what I'm going, so he is completely enlightened, spiritually realized, but he acted as if he's a madman. Like, you know, his father used to teach him, you know, basic things, how to pass, after passing stool you have to take bath and all. He used to do all reverse. Purposefully used to do. Nobody used to understand. His brothers used to, you know, always to exploit him, or, you know, all those things. But that's example he gave, and finally he perfected his life in that life. And there was a very nice discussion of how Jada Bharat instructs King Rahugana. Rahugana was a king at that time, and he was very puffed up, out of his position, and one day he was being carried in palanquin. So one of the person was missing. So they took, Jada Bharat was very strong, strongly built. So they chose Jada Bharat to help him. But while going, what's happening is the king felt that it was going out of balance once in a while. Then he got down, finally he got frustrated. He got in and saw what's happening. So then they saw, everybody complained that Jada Bharat is, you know, he's not going straight line. He's jumping. Then the king asked, okay, why are you doing? I'm the person, you know, I could even take your life. I don't know exactly what. Basically, king acted as if, you know, I'm the controller. No, why you are doing like this? You are my servant, you should behave like that. Then he said, then he gave instructions by which, you know, King Rahugana understood that he's a self-realized soul, and he surrenders to him. And the reason why he does like this is, I think, ants were on the way, right?
Yeah.
Ants were on the way, he didn't want to step on them, so he was trying to avoid them. So the point there is, as Jada Bharat also, he remembers his devotional activities. So that's the protection. Not only that eternal bank account, it's there, but for special mercy, they themselves remember. So then in this life, you feel very much convinced. Like, okay, enough, I've done in all lives. I don't want to do it anymore. That conviction will come automatically. We may not know the details, but somehow that conviction will come.
So also the Gajendra, you may all have known, right? The Gajendra, king, elephant Gajendra. So he was also same thing, right? He was elephant, he was born as elephant. But at the time of distress, he was able to remember the prayers.
He was king of Indradyumna Maharaj.
Yeah, before. So he was able to remember the prayers, so then he recited. Then Vishnu came and, you know, chopped off the crocodile head and he delivered the Gajendra. So that's why it's a deer, right? Why does it say, on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear, right? Text 40. Translation. And text 41, what was one more very important point? The second, the last, we discussed one more very important point. The other, first one was the determination, and what was the second very important point in the...
How do we get the determination?
You have to know that you're not the body but the soul.
So who gives the, who helps in the determination?
The guru helps.
He needs spiritual master.
Yeah. That's very, very important one, right? Service in Krishna consciousness is however best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. So first of all, the spiritual master means he should be bona fide. That's why Prabhupada, he makes it very, he could have just said, you know, representative of Krishna, but, you know, very clear, so we don't get misled. Why do we need somebody? Like, somebody guide us?
Because we don't know how to serve Krishna.
So any field, or any field you take, or, you know, we have a teacher, right? Anything you take, we have a teacher. So spiritual knowledge is also like that. We need somebody who can guide us.
So that we can go on the right track.
Yeah.
that was
like a train without trace.
But what are the right things we should ask from a spiritual master if you meet a sadhu or something, right? What should be the things which we should ask for?
Who is God? Who are we?
No, if let's say we want something like blessings or something, in what area or what we should ask for?
So it's not to check whether the spiritual master is right or wrong, but for us, for him to guide us, what you want to ask? Is that
okay?
No, Prabhu once said to know whether the guru is real or not, we should first ask him who is God.
No, that is one part.
This is like generally some sadhus are going, right?
Mm.
We want, and we always want some blessings, benedictions.
Yeah.
So what benediction should we ask them?
So that we can actually continue our service in the spiritual life.
Yes, so
we can ask blessings
in spiritual life.
Give us the determination.
What is the other thing we can ask? Which we should not ask.
The material thing.
Yeah.
Fruitive.
Yeah, many times Prabhupada also said, people used to come to him and say, please bless me that material life progresses. They sadhus don't bless like that, they want to finish your material life.
One person in US, right? I think he came and he was trying to touch Prabhupada feet and he was planning, asking something. Prabhupada said, I bless you that, Krishna takes away all your material. Then he said, no,
you
got shaking. You are shaking. No, I don't want to.
Yeah, I remember, just now I
don't know. But when we are in material world, we need material teachers.
Some necessities, you need.
If you solve the material problems, can be solved by spiritual solutions.
Yes.
Mm.
So once we catch the big fish, automatically, Timingila will be...
Material well-being follows...
Spiritual well-being.
It's not the other way around.
Yeah.
So, of course, basic necessity is anyway Krishna's... That's why, Krishna says that... Or Prabhupada says, call the elephants everywhere, right? In Africa and all. Who provides food for them? They eat 200 kgs per day.
Vegetarians.
They're vegetarians, they eat 200 kgs per day. Who provides? They don't, go and collect and keep stuff. It's already provided by Krishna. So Prabhupada says, so what about the human beings? Much higher in the ladder. So they are already provided with the basic necessity actually. But we don't have that much faith. That's why we try to take shelter in, some wrong shelter. Always.
I mean, even scientifically also they have proved that the carbon footprint because of eating meats is basically higher than when you eat vegetables.
No, that's true.
Because the meat, they graze grasses
the meat
and all,
gas,
and the processing, storage and all. So,
yeah, it's there, yeah.
So, we should not ask sadhu, my daughter is not getting married, please bless her. Or, my kid has to get into some college, all these things.
No, when I used to go to Hanuman temple, that's the one thing I used to ask. I used to ask Hanuman, I want to go to US. I used to ask, that's what my this thing, so...
Because he was Vayudut, that's why he asked me.
But yeah, it worked.
But
that's what you should ask. I mean, I know our ask is tuned to the material world. But what demigods provide you is a path to the spiritual life so that you can get to Krishna consciousness, right? Isn't it?
Either way around.
No,
they
we don't know.
You in
the so,
material.
The problem is demigods will give you whatever you want. They don't give you what you need.
Yes.
They
if you, let's say you go with a petition, I want this, but first of all, the problem is we don't know what we
need.
what is really beneficial for us. That's first confusion. Because of that, we have some want. And we go with that want. Then demigod says, okay, after certain piety, I'm going to give you.
Mm.
Respective of whether it's going to take you closer to Krishna or not.
Mm.
But whereas same want, you can go with Krishna also. Even material desires, you can approach Krishna. There's a verse, Akama Sarvakam. What is that verse from? Akama Sarvakam. Yeah. So if you don't have any desires, or you have lot of desires, or you have desire for liberation, in all these thing aspects, you could approach Krishna. Krishna, derived that. So then, but the thing about Krishna is, he will give you after purifying you of the desire.
Mm.
So when you give the benediction, you will not exploit it to become more entangled, but rather you will use it in Krishna's service. Like example is Dhruva Maharaj, right? Who knows the story of Dhruva Maharaj? Little bit, right? He got agitated because you know his father insulted him.
He could not sit on his father's lap.
Yes, and then he Kshatriya spirit. Then he made a vow that you know I want a kingdom better than my father.
Grandfather.
Yeah, even Brahma, greater than Brahma, he wanted because he wanted to 5 years old.
So he's a star. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he got
a planet.
Yeah, 5 years old.
5 years old.
Then he went to mother. Nobody else is there. Mother told, she is very innocent. She told, I don't know, but I know that people go, you know, ask God, they, he will give everything. Where
he
is God?
He go to the forest. Yeah.
So where is God? Okay, yeah, people generally search for him in forest. Okay, I'm going. So then he is so determined, but what is the purpose? He wanted a kingdom better than his grandfather.
It was a material desire.
Material desire.
But what happened? Yeah.
Then afterwards, on this path, Narada Muni notices that you know this boy is very determined. So then he wants to, you know, distract, test his determination. So he comes and tells, you're such a small boy, why you want all this? And these things, you know, you should neglect. These are small-minded things. Then he very clearly told, if you want to help me, you just I'm going to listen to you. Otherwise, please
push off
to Narada Muni.
So then Narada Muni was very pleased and he gave him the mantra by which he can perfect devotional service. So by that he got purified and even Lord Narayana came himself personally. In within 6 months, he perfected his life. And then when Lord Narayana...
That's a trick there. So first 3 months he was eating plants.
It's
gradually...
Very, very
next 3 months he was eating leaves that fell from the trees. And final 3 months he was just eating
granularity is different. Mm. Not 3 months, but within 6 months overall...
Yeah.
He reduced from,
and
you know,
finally
he was not even
eating.
Taking air also.
And finally he stopped taking air.
Yeah.
Whole Brahman
whole world became suffocated because of it. Then Narayana himself came. Then he was very pleased and he said, oh my lord, see I am such a fool. I was looking for broken pieces of glass. But I got a diamond. By that time his desire was gone.
Yeah.
Lord said, but still because you asked, you have to take the planet now. Mm. So he had to take the planet. So
yes,
that's what Krishna does. Actually, there is a very nice inside story about Krishna, because we all want to be devotees of Krishna, right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he asks Krishna, you know, he has a question, he had a doubt whether Krishna is really Lakshmipati. Why he had a doubt? Because he notices that all his devotees are becoming poorer and poorer. It's like, okay, why, if Krishna is Lakshmipati, we should help his devotees, why it's happening? And at the same time, opposite is, Shiva doesn't even have a house. He lives under a tree. Parvati, right? Parvati is asking him so many times to give me a house. There was one pastime especially about that. But he doesn't even have a house. He doesn't even have proper clothes. He's avadut, right? Person from Smashana. But his devotees are very, very opulent. So he got a doubt. Are you really Lakshmipati? And Krishna says, yeah, I am. But the thing is, whenever I show special favor on a devotee, I take away everything from him. Because he doesn't have any other choice and all his relatives will abandon him because he doesn't have any money and he doesn't have any choice but to surrender to me. So that is my special mercy on my favored devotee.
Basically real shelter. If we have to realize, the pure devotees, they realize that there is no other shelter than Krishna. That's how Krishna brings to the...
So if all of you are a little bit sincere, you can see what's coming in future. It's okay. But when Krishna makes us like that, then you know, we'll be fully protected.
Yeah,
you know?
Sachida.
Mataji, there's a flip side to that, right? So if you... That's what I say, right? If you try to bend an iron bar, it will bend. If you try to bend a twig, it will break. So Krishna knows what we are capable of taking.
Yeah.
So he'll give only that.
Yes,
that's why it's a gradual
thing, that's
right?
Why, you know, that is not ordinary people. Anybody will not do, right? He says a person whom I especially show favor to. Mm. Actually, we should be praying to be that person. No, it's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to run away, Krishna is going to watch me. No, he's going to capture me. No, we are not yet ready to be in that position. Right? Because Krishna takes away small thing, we start crying and say, you know, is really Krishna there? I'm chanting, what's happening? So, our faith is like that.
Okay, let's start text 42 to 43. Yam Himam
Yam Himam Pushitam Vacham Pravadyanti Avipushita Veda Vata Rata Parta Nanya Dasti Vadina
Kama
Maha Swarga Pagara Janyam Karma Phala Pradam ಕ್ರಿಯಾಶೇಷಬಹುಲಾಂ
Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommended various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this.
So this is here, it's especially about the Vedas.
Yeah, actually 42 to 46, it's a discussion about Vedas.
Mostly the Vedas.
Karma Kanda Vedas.
Yeah.
Mostly the, yeah.
People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karma Kanda portions of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices, and men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined actions of Krishna consciousness. As fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, unenlightened men are similarly attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. In the Karma Kanda section of Vedas, it is said, Apama Somam Amrita Abhuma and Akshayam
Chaturmasya
Chaturmasya.
In other words, those who perform the four month penances become eligible to drink the Soma Rasa beverages to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have Soma Rasa to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratifications. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called Nandana
Karana,
in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic, beautiful women and having a profuse supply of somarasa wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual, therefore there are those who are purely attached to such material temporary happiness as lords of the material world.
Mm-hmm. So how many of us are reflected now with all this description?
So.
So nice, right?
So I had a question.
Word will come again and again.
It's mentioned in the Vedas, right? These things are mentioned in the Vedas. So is it because we are missing the context in which it was written? Because like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that Arjuna, you need to
you need to be determined to fight now, which has been misinterpreted by many people, right, without understanding the context, right? So is it that the Karmakanda portion of Vedas has been misconstrued, or what is the purpose if it is in the Vedas, whereas we consider Veda as the source of everything, right?
That's a very good question. Yeah, that's what we are going to start.
Okay.
The question is why Vedas are authority, ultimate authority is Vedas, right? Everything is coming from Vedas.
Yes.
You know, Bhagavad Gita, basically scriptures we say, right? And Vedas are coming directly from God. So if it's coming directly from God, why does it contain things which will entangle a person?
The karma, right? Kanda, because that karma is what said, it's against
you. Because ideally, you know, if it, that should tell us, you know, ultimate path of liberation. That should give us only path, only that.
Is it a question like this karma kanda should not be there?
Yeah, exactly. No, why? What is the purpose? Why is it there?
Why material related calculations are there?
Why? Yes. Why it promotes? See, these people, they will say, you know, nobody can stop them. They can say, oh, I'm referring to Vedas. Whatever Vedas are telling, I'm doing. We cannot say they are atheistic or, you know, they are not following
the Vedic principle.
Religious. They're not,
Maybe that's a, just my little knowledge.
No, maybe. We'll discuss the right thing, yeah.
So, there is another question, Mother, is how come there is nothing for the ladies? It's all oriented towards men, it seems.
Yeah.
I was surprised that none of ladies like racing this sport.
Because for ladies,
men are
the enjoyers.
No, ladies are the enjoyers.
It's all about, finally, it boils down to the propensity for enjoyment. Mm. Yeah.
Correct. So, what I'm saying is, there is no equal. Okay, maybe he was talking to the Arjuna, he was talking like that, but it's very odd that it was just...
There's no equality, right?
Correct. I'm surprised that none of them, in Vedas, no offense, but in
Vedas there are phrases, where...
There are chauvinistic phrases,
probably.
Yeah. Maybe that could be it, but I'm very sure that there might be...
Because they have more stronger faith in Krishna, actually.
Yeah, that could be. Again, more...
No, Vedas just somewhere around.
But that goes on to show that women are the epitome of kindness.
Yeah. The women are the tenfold, right? No, women are the tenfold.
So, probably, for your 15, right? Let's go, what about Vedas? You said Vedas, right? So, what's the purpose of Vedas?
Yeah.
So, let's see, 15,
yeah,
what says is. Yeah, you can answer. First, we'll see what Krishna
ultimate
says about
purpose
it.
Purpose of Vedas.
Is there are a lot of steps, but what's the final 15 sarvasya chaham vede sannivishto matahasir jnana upo namcha vedaishya sarve nameva vidyo vedanta krit veda with deva chaham.
Is this a memorization verse?
Yes. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So, what should be the final goal even after you study all the Vedas? And of course, Vedas contains branches of knowledge, all the branches. So, even after going through all this, finally where you have to come to the conclusion? By all the Vedas, I am to be known. But for us, because by somebody's devotee's mercy, we got the conclusion. Directly, you know, we are coming to the conclusion. And Prabhupada uses analogy of going through the staircase. Going to the World Trade Center, it's not there, but he used that example before. Going through the World Trade, or you go through the
elevator
process. So, we, by mercy, devotee's mercy, we got it. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons.
So, that's the ultimate purpose. So specifically, you know, why that section is there and, you know, what's the history and whether Prabhu was asking, is it concocted because of that? Somebody is doing out this meaning. No, actually. So Vedas are compiled by Vyasadeva. Mm. Like through oral reception, it was being passed on. But when Vyasadeva found out that Kali Yuga, nobody has memory, so he wrote it down. So they are like four major Vedas, right? So there and then, so mainly, and also he wrote Mahabharata especially for less intelligent, like women and children and all, to get gradually through stories, you know, they will get the essence and then come to Krishna consciousness like that. And when he compiled the Vedas, he that's the basically he thought that, you know, people are very addicted to sense gratification. So immediately if you give them, you know, give up everything, they may not take it. They may not be ready. So he thought, okay, I'll give them a gradual process. So the gradual process is I'll give them, according along with their sense gratification, he'll give them a regulations. Like for example, if you want to eat meat, at a particular day within the month, you have to offer a certain sacrifice to my good goddess Kali, and then you can eat. Like that. Because they're so addicted to meat eating, suddenly you say, okay, stop. Then they cannot, there is no way, right? So this way, they will at least follow Vedas, and gradually also they will get purified. So that was his intention. But then the problem was, almost 90% of the Vedas was all about this, how to regulate the sense gratification. And only few percent was really the goal, which is Krishna or devotional service. So that's what people miss. And then they focus on these things and say, okay, the karma kanda section, and say, you know, oh, I'm going to stick here. My level is this. So the other thing is, even though, and for us, people who are more advanced or more better qualified, we cannot go down and follow those rules. We cannot say now, okay, I read in Bhagavad Gita, karma kanda section, I can offer sacrifices and as per family planets, or even I can do eat meat and all, right? But we are right now given the final thing already, somehow or the other. So we cannot go back and do at a lower, act at a lower level. This is for a person who is even more lower to come little bit up. Okay? And then so after this, that's when actually there's a whole section in Bhagavatam covers this. So after compiling Vedas, Vyasadeva becomes very much despondent, or rather, you know, dissatisfied. He compiled the Vedas with the ultimate intention to help everyone actually. He didn't have any selfish motive. It's all about, I want to help conditioned souls to achieve the ultimate liberation. That was his purpose. But then after, and he was so intelligent, he was so knowledgeable. Somebody may think, you know, if I don't have knowledge, I may feel, you know, dissatisfied. He had knowledge, everything is there. Still he felt despondent. He didn't understand what was the root cause for his dissatisfaction. Then while thinking like that, his spiritual master came. Who is his spiritual master? Narada Muni. Yeah, Narada Muni, if you see many of the great personalities, spiritual master is Narada Muni. So he appears and he understands what's happening. Then there is a discussion between them. The whole chapter is about that, in first canto. Then he tells, you know, the problem is you didn't sufficiently glorify the Supreme Person and his activities and pastimes. The whole literature, 90%, 99% they devoted to fruitive activities, which actually further entangles people. Right? Even if you give, and that actually gives them more license to do it. Just because, you know, now they put Veda's name and do it more, in a more bona fide way. So, then he told, that's a problem. Then he said, okay, and you use your intelligence, now do something. Then now he devotes the whole literature, whatever is writing, completely focusing on Lord Krishna's pastimes and activities and his devotees, which is nothing but Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a pure nectar of pure devotional service. It doesn't have any, even the first two verses says that actually. Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra means it actually rejects all cheating religions. These are all cheating religions where just for the sake of religion, you take up religion, but you cheat yourself from the ultimate goal, right? But the Bhagavatam rejects the cheating religion from the beginning. So all it gives is pure devotional service to Supreme Personality of God. So that's the whole story behind that. So that's why this concept of Vedas also appears in Bhagavad Gita many times. Again in the purport as well as in the translation, we can see how Krishna discourages that, or we can see the results of that. Results is people use it for, you know, sense enjoyment, sense gratification. So at best, material benefits. But in a way, because they are following some authority, gradually they will come to a higher level. But it takes long time. And actually Prabhupada said once that, from my, of my disciples, many of them are aspiring for heavenly planets. He could sense
very
that.
Very rare actually.
Very rare for somebody to aspire for pure devotional service. And it's also very rare for Krishna to give it. because somewhere or the other we will miss the point. Because by the time we leave this world, you know, to go all the way to Vaikuntha spiritual world, we have to cross all this, right? We discuss the, we have to leave this universe, all the layers, and on the way, you know, Brahma Jyoti, you have to cross, we should not be attracted to the effulgence, you know, be part of that, and then go, and then all these Vaikuntha planets.
That's why here, you know, it's saying attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Mm. So we just read only one paragraph here, right? You get a lot of, what do you get in heavenly planets? Right? You get that. So that's, so Prabhupada says those are all the allurements you get in the Vedas. So when you read something like this, because we are so conditioned, our mind gets, start thinking about it. Oh, I'm suffering here so much, you know, even to just get some little bit enjoyment, maybe if I go to heavenly planets, I get more. So Prabhupada uses analogy of, you know, how the parents, they give a lot of allurements for the kids. Especially, you know, you tell them, you study nicely, you know, once you get a job, nice job, then you can get a nice wife, you know, you can have a, buy a big house. So like Vedas, it gives you some kind of allurements. Nobody gives a real knowledge. At least, did anybody of us who went, did anybody in the school or, you know, did anybody tell devotional services the most important, or you know, that's important, most important of all other,
because
nobody told.
Get it right away. So these are all to, not to make them lazy. So from that lazy thing, make them work for something. And once they work, and they know that.
There's no happiness. By that time, our life will be over.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what Vedas is, like Karma Kanda process. We just teach about all the Karma Kanda activities.
But it doesn't mean our kids also, we give them that much. You don't. It's not required. It's not required. Okay, kids may not understand right away. So I'm going to, you know, for 25 years, I'm going to tell them how to, you know, earn living, everything. At 25 years, I'm going to tell them devotion service. It's not
they will
needed.
Not take. They will not never take.
It's not. We don't. We should not give that much lenience to ourselves to do it. We should be so convinced. That's what I meant to say. We should be so convinced that devotion service is the ultimate thing. That's what is Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi, right? Just by attaining Krishna consciousness, I can attain perfection in my life.
Hmm.
That means even perfection in my society.
So especially for kids, as you mentioned, so you can give all this education. They should have a good education. But with that, they should always know what's the important thing in the life. So with that, you can dovetail, other things should dovetail the main.
The other things are for them to have a sustained living in this life, so that they can continue devotion service, but not other way around. Okay, you do all your work so that, you know, what to say, so that you can maintain yourself to do devotional service. Not because, you know, you do all the work and if you have some time, then you do devotional service.
I know one family who visits temple. They are very, you know, they are very sincere and very part of the family. They are here for from 87 or something in Seattle only. They're a Punjabi family. They are from Punjab. So, but, you know, that time they gave son especially, they gave him very good education. And they never encouraged him to, you know, come to temple. Apart, they used to come, but they never, you know, bought him very often. So that kid grew up, now he works for Boeing, I think now. He's already like 26 or 27 years old. He doesn't even listen to parents now. If they call him to come to temple, at least festival time, he doesn't come. He says, you know, I don't see any point in coming to temple, or, you know, I don't see any point. They used to come, but
no,
you know, they were never bought his kids. But the small kid, there is one more kid, that guy, they make sure, you know, they bring him very regularly and they engage him in service. And he is good. He, you know, he balances, he knows what to balance and all.
You can tell about the Gujarati boy. It's very favorably got a dream, right? Opposite.
Yeah, so there is one more boy, I think they, I don't know where they live, but I don't know their name also. So they have a kid, one son. So, he chants and all. And of course, they are from Gujarat, right? Especially they are very more pious people there, right? So, he chants and all. So, before Gaurapunima, that Gaurapunima night, right? We had the festival here on Tuesday, right? So, that night, he got a dream. In the dream, especially, you know, Gauranitai and Srila Prabhupada coming in the dream. That's really amazing. Actually, it's very rare to get good dreams like that. We get thousands of bad dreams, but it's very rare to get some good dreams. That's a very, very amazing. His father came, we were taking prasadam on that Tuesday during festival. And he told, the son couldn't come because he had college, evening college he goes. Then father told Prabhuji, I want to share with you something. I'm so excited, I want to share because it's, you know. Then I told him what happened. Then he told, yesterday my son in the night, morning, like in the night, he
so
got
that is
a dream.
Day before Garapunima, right?
Yeah, day before Garapunima. He told my son got a dream where, you know, he was getting blessings from Gauranitha and Srila Prabhupada. Like how we have Gauranitha and Srila Prabhupada in the center, he was sitting in the center, Gauranitha were in the back, they were giving blessings. I felt, wow, that's perfection. At least, you know, that's the...
So, you're talking about the older son, no, Prabhu, but the parents have already put the seed.
Yes,
usually
that's
they,
what...
This whole,
yes. That will help for sure.
Yeah.
Because they both do so much service, parents. And of, for sure, the son is going to get some...
Somewhere he's
some,
going to click and
yeah,
it will
yeah,
come.
Yeah, sure, no doubt at all.
Yeah.
They will get some pious... Prabhuji,
one random question. The temple is called Vedic Cultural Center.
Yes.
But yet, you know, the, there is so much of, you know, you're saying the Vedas are actually rounded and...
No, that's why we are giving that knowledge, right?
We are giving the essence. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Vedas,
we,
right?
We are talking
so
about the 20% part, right?
Yeah, we are focusing on the...
Vedas Shrimad is everything. In Bhagavad Gita also is part of Vedas. Right? It's part of Vedas. So in that, we are just giving the essence of Vedas.
So we are not discussing, you know, all this Sama, Yajur, all this Vedas, Karmakanda, what's the procedure to do, Karmakanda sacrifice. We also don't know. We can't teach, right? Yeah.
We are giving the essence of the Vedas. Of course, our Vedic culture, you know, it's inclusive of everything.
In fact, like in Bhubaneswar, there is this Nandan Kanan.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get all of that stuff. It's that's like a zoo or a sanctuary.
Yeah.
that's where animals live.
Okay.
In Bhubaneswar.
Vipada Pashu.
Okay, so let's understand this properly. So at best, what do you get by the following Karmakanda section? What is the best thing you could get?
You go to where?
Huh? Go to heavenly planets and you may get some essential environment and opulence.
But why?
So what happens after that?
No, even heavenly planets, why we should not go to heavenly planets? According
no,
to
that's why I want them to
you
know, digest this.
Okay.
So
it's only limited time, right? After the thing is done, then you have to
back.
So after the pious
credits
are gone, you
have to
come back to material world again. So cycle of birth and death will continue.
Which verse is that?
Right?
You can point to
Shine
verse. No.
I don't know that verse.
Abhrama Bhuvana Loka.
Yeah, that
it's,
is a different verse. That is 8.
It's 1816. 8.16. If you go to 8.16, we will just see why we should not aspire to go to heavenly planets. What happens if you even aspire and go, what happens in the heavenly planets?
3.16.
Abrahma, Aha, Brahma, Bona, Loka, Punar, Avartino, Arjuna, Maam, Upeka, Uru, Kaunteya, Punar, Janma, Na, Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world, down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth. So that's the disadvantage of going to heavenly planets. You come back.
But still, do we want to try? Maybe, you know, I will get a longer time of some enjoyment.
And also material, especially material world is considered a place of darkness, right? Because without sun, right? Without sun, this material world is actually, it's a place of darkness. So it's kind of, you know, mode of, it's not meant for us. Whereas all the spiritual planets are illuminated by the, you know, effulgence. The Krishna's body, it's all illuminated. There is no sun or moon, planet or anything in the spiritual planets. It's always, you know, illuminated by the effulgence. And also, you know, it's a Vedic instruction that we have always heard. At least I remember, you know, some serials or something in the TV. Jyotis, what is that?
Samatoma
Jyotir Gamaya, right?
Go towards the light.
Tamasoma
Jyotir.
So what does that mean? What does that mean?
Astoma Satgamaya is
from untruth to
from
truth.
Let there, no, it basically says, let there be in darkness, let there, let in Astoma Satgamaya means in the lies, let there be truth. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya means in darkness.
So even it's a part of the Vedic instruction that don't stay in the darkness, come to the place where there is light. So material world is considered to a darkness, where the spiritual, you are basically from material world, we have to go to the spiritual world. That's why it's called Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya.
Lead me from untruth to truth, from darkness to light.
Yeah, that's the way the...
It's on the spot. It might be wrong.
See, that's the whole thing. As Prabhu said, you know, people get confused, and Prabhupada is saying, men with... this is in first paragraph. Like last six lines. Men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, doing sacrifices and getting some benefits. They miss the whole point, the essence. That's the whole thing. It is very difficult for such an inexperienced person to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness. So why it's difficult is going to be taught in next verse. If you are still attracted to this, Krishna is going to tell, if you are going to go for heavenly plans, what you are going to miss? That's going to come in next verse.
So why the determination doesn't take place? That's the next one. What's the reason? If you don't have any questions, we can go to text 44. We'll go to text 44.
Okay, or somebody may also ask, like, okay, before even I knew about heavenly planets, I was peaceful. Okay, at least I was doing some devotion service, chanting. Now, after this class, whole week, I'm meditating on how do I go to heavenly planets. So, why should I even hear this?
So, okay.
But that's what we discussed, right? I mean, bottom line is, even if you go to heavenly planet, you're not going to get your devotion service,
yes,
right? So,
so,
if you're satisfied by that, then...
Yes. So, we know, so that in future, we don't get allured. Like, let's say if somebody comes and tells this advertisement, you know, they put advertisement, go to Hawaii, enjoy, this is what you see, right? They don't show the other part of it, right? Again, there also you'll get disease, everything, all those things, right? So, if somebody comes and advertises, oh, heavenly planets, this is all you get. If we don't know the complete thing, then we may get attracted and aspire for it. So, now we are discussing in a proper context, right? That's why it's there in Bhagavad Gita.
Haridas Prabhu said we should have complete knowledge.
Yes, exactly. That's the point I wanted. We should know about jnana, we should know about ajnana.
Hmm.
Right? We should know about knowledge and ignorance also. So we can avoid the ignorance part of it. So we know what not to do.
Actually, Haridas Prabhu said that use your intelligence to guide your senses, not the other way. That's
right.
That was stuck with me. Use your intelligence to guide your senses, not the other way around.
That's right.
But since the intelligence is covered,
correct, and
right,
that's
why
we have to increase our intelligence.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And that's
why chanting removes that dot which is on your mind.
No, I'm just completely
You have to become vyasayatmika buddhi, intelligence.
I mean, in general Hindi language, it's basically
business, farming.
Yeah, that's what. So here also, I mean, I don't know. In Sanskrit, it has a completely different meaning.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, you have to refer to the dictionary. Nirukruti. That means you have Nirukti dictionary. That's a Sanskrit.
Oh.
Okay. We'll go to text 44, small ones. Bhogaishwarya prasartana taya prakta chetasana vyasayatmika buddhi samato na vidhiyate. Bhogaishwarya prasartana taya prakta chetasana vyasayatmika buddhi samato na vidhiyate.
Minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place.
Mm.
Okay.
So there are only reasons?
If you still are attracted, and you know, in 42 and 43, Krishna is going to tell us what we are going to miss. So he is saying either me or
that
sense enjoyment.
So there are two reasons here. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. No. I said because I almost tried to chant the Vishnu Sahasranama every day, right? So there it says towards the end, Phalastuti, they say, that is, what do you get while you chant? It says that, whoever wants whatever, they'll get it, right? And then it says the Brahmana will get the knowledge, the Kshatriya will get the victories, the Vaishya will get wealth, and the Kshudra will get luxurious life. Those who want kids will get kids, those who want material comfort.
But this is one of the words in Vishnu Sahasranama?
Yes.
It's the
Phalastuti.
The end is the end.
Phalastuti is part of Vishnu Sahasranama,
yes.
Or somebody wrote it?
No. For you say that with it. It is as compiled.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to say Phalastuti.
No, actually you have to say Phalastuti.
Isn't like who wrote it, right? Who bach?
See, Bhishmadev wrote Vishnu Sahasranama, right?
No, Veda Vyasa compiled
Vishnu Sahasranama.
It's spoken by
Bhishmadev,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So,
did they
say this Phalastuti at the end? That's what my question is.
I don't know.
The tradition is that you say it with this.
Okay, it's a tradition,
right.
So we don't know. Okay, it's bona fide.
But then third, you don't have to say it.
Yeah.
Actually, then after this verse, it's all about Vasudeva, Vasudeva, Vasudeva only. Then it says very clearly, after this it says, Janma Mukti Jara Vyadhi Bhayam Naivo Pachayate. It says that also. So, can't pick and choose, but it's very interesting, that's all. Yeah,
that's why I'm saying, I don't know, at least Vishnu Sahasranamam, as we heard from Bhishmadev, it's basically different names of the Lord.
Right, that is true.
But somebody may be applying that to get material benefits. So that connection...
But even there, if you want it, you'll get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Just,
no, I'm not...
Even in
yeah.
the end, Arjuna,
yeah.
Krishna doesn't say do it. He says,
yeah,
you decide.
Yeah,
you
decide.
Given
yeah.
you everything and you decide.
So what I'm saying is, you should not be confused that purpose of Vishnu Sahasranamam is to get all this.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that.
So that's what I want to clarify.
I didn't say that either.
Yeah, because that's completely...
Yeah.
It can be completely spiritual experience of glorifying the Lord.
Yeah.
See, for example, even chanting, right? While chanting, we may be asking all this actually. We can chant with a material motive. There's nothing, nobody stops it. But the purpose of chanting is not to get material benefits.
Because I heard this one, because when we were young, we used to chant Vishnu Sahasranama,
yeah.
and we used to say the Phalastuti and everything. But then when we got older, like I heard from some other people, like, if your motive is not just to get the thing, you don't
have
to say
Phalastuti.
Name
itself.
Just
yeah.
the end
name
say
itself is
Phalastuti,
right?
Yeah.
But the, so that's what I'm. So when I tried that, I was told that if you don't say the Phalastuti, then it's incomplete. You have to complete
yeah,
it.
So that's why it's mixed up. It's okay.
But it has excellent things, Madhari. This is just two verses I'm talking. After that, it's all.
It has the Karmakanda portion also.
Yeah.
So it says the first starting verses, I've just completed the 1000 names of Vishnu for people who want, Brahmanas who get this, and then it starts. It also says, Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadhi Bhayam Naivo Pachayate. So it also says that.
So for us anyway, so from this we can make out that, if we don't have the determination, so why? What are the reasons?
So this verse talks about obstacles in path of devotion service.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to know, if I'm practicing devotion service, what are the obstacles? Obstacles are sense enjoyment and material opulence. Boga, Aishwarya. Boga is material enjoyment and Aishwarya is attachment for material opulence. If we have both of, so we are chasing both of these desires, we should immediately understand that our determination for devotion service is going to slacken. So, but suddenly if we want to reflect, why? Why I am not fixed up in my chanting? Or why I am not able to do as much service or as much devoted as certain such person? Like, Hariplas Prabhu is 24 hours devoted to Krishna. So why I am not able to do? Then the answer, if you go back and analyze, you will see both either of this. Either we are too much busy with sense enjoyment, or we are seeking after material opulence, which is like in the form of career, growth, all those things. So that's what come down to it.
So this also means that you will not have the resolute determination to the devotional
yes.
service. You might do the devotional
yes.
service here and
yes.
there.
Yes.
But the resolute
yes.
one, which is what
you will
not
be fixed
get.
Up. Yeah.
Okay.
Will not be fixed up either in quantity or quality also. Either in, you know, fullness, like for example 24
mm-hmm.
hours.
Yeah.
Or even that much, whatever you do, you don't do it regularly.
But isn't anything two or three verses before it where we said, even
yes.
if you do a little bit thing, then
yes.
2% will anyway carry over
yes.
there, right?
Yeah,
okay.
So you'll be happy with that. Like, okay, this life, let me chase all those things.
Yeah.
This anyway, I'm going to get benefits, so it's okay.
2% in
100.
2%,
yeah.
You have to come to class, Bhagavad Gita class like this for maybe 15.
Yeah.
Teach little bit 2%, 2%. Oh,
I didn't mean to question just
no.
I'm just
oh no problem Prabhu no but because our duty is
oh, you have a question
no but the thing is our duty is also to clarify right because first of all it's actually people are listening recording and the other thing is when everybody is coming from different background so we should not take different conclusions right so that's why we are clarifying that's why we also don't mean to you know, offend or, you know.
So that was the next thing. I didn't mean to offend what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also didn't mean to offend.
No, you didn't offend
okay.
me. No, there's no way. Yeah.
That's why it's
yeah.
a discussion group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should understand our point of view. Because, you know, ultimately we are responsible, right? So we should make sure that everybody is on the same page of understanding of all the concepts.
The resolute determination, like you said, that is difficult.
Yes,
be
that we definition we
without any distractions.
Oh. Because we are, see the moment you want to do devotion, immediately you think, oh, instead of doing this 1 hour here, maybe, you know, I'll work extra and I'll get some more money.
No,
right?
That's what Prabhupada, you know, one person, he mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned in there. So he called Durbuddhi. You know the meaning of Durbuddhi? Huh?
Bad thoughts.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Durbuddhi, you know.
Negative.
So instead of, Prabhupada was saying, instead of listening to Bhagavad Gita lecture, he was giving Bhagavad Gita lecture that time, right? Instead of listening to that, some people used to think, you know, if I work that extra 1 hour, I can get $100 extra.
Mm.
So he called that's a durbuddhi. That's a bad intelligence. So that's what it is, yeah, you know. So for us, so I wanted to give one example. Mine, you know, whenever I, now it has reduced, but still I get. So when I start chanting, so the my planning session also starts. No, really,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
So
yeah.
mind is so
focused now.
Yeah.
So by saying that I am chanting because I want to get peace of mind is not the correct thing then.
Yeah.
Peace
yeah.
from peace of mind from what?
Yeah.
Mind
from
the
I think I understood what you are saying.
So basically
it's a selfish thing.
Yeah.
If you are not chanting for him, you are chanting
for
him.
No, we start that platform. That's it's a known fact actually. That's where everybody, one of us start. But slowly as we know, realizations with that.
We should go beyond that,
yeah,
otherwise
we
will not be able to continue.
But you need peace of mind in order to go beyond that.
Yes.
Okay.
You will get it. Yeah, that's the power of the chanting. You will get it.
Even that would be good for you, right?
But it'll be good
for the middle
world. I mean, that's what. So when
you stop, the problem is you'll stop there.
Yes.
Once
you get peace of mind, okay, I'm happy with 6 rounds.
Now,
my life is set.
So that's what I wanted. So for me, like
no,
you know,
but
for chanting.
Your wife will become happy. You just see.
No, really, that's you don't know. You just see. So for me, especially, you know, for the chanting.
Yeah, my wife is happy because I'm coming here.
Oh, that's a very.
I prompted
Robo
to tell.
That's okay.
I'm just
relying. Okay, so my point was, when I take up my chanting, few rounds I do it nicely, after that, you know, planning session, maybe, you know, what to do.
Yeah.
So that's all because of one of this. Whenever we get distracted, because we are one of this. Maybe different gradations, but still we may have a subtle attachment for both of this, or material opulence or sensual enjoyment. That may be a subtle, different gradations, but it can be, you know, more of a gross or subtle, like, you know. But yeah,
or doership,
you know, everything finally drops one of this. It's, you know, different levels, but yeah. So if you cannot do it properly, the devotional service, chanting, if you get distracted too many, you know, very often, that means we can, you know, we can introspect and see where we stand and, you know, what can you do. That's the introspection is very important.
So you were saying something, Prabhu, earlier.
Oh, I was asking about the Satyanarayan Katha. Is it coming from Vedas too? Because in that one, if you have heard, they always talk about, you know, do the puja and then you will get
karma
all kind
kanda
of material
yeah,
benefits.
That I'm not
karma
sure.
The woodcutter, the trader,
right?
I mean, all
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
sure.
that's very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why these are all there, maybe, you know.
We don't
but
know.
With the time, it may be a little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that is also, I mean, if you see, like, where Mataji responded to, like, this Karma Kanda is purely contextual, right? You know, for that phase, for that kind of people, you know, in order to attract them towards it, that's why they had this section. And if you see Satyanarayan Katha, it's like that only.
Yeah.
They say only when you get fixated on Narayan is where you can get all of this stuff, right?
See, if you don't have something like this, like the processes for to reach out to all the people, some section of people, they drop out. They will never have opportunity to come to, you know, Godhead. They will never be able to take up devotional service.
So Vedas
That's
address,
why Vedas
all,
address
grades
all grades of people. From the lower level to the highest devotional service, it, you know, it gives opportunity for everybody. That's the best
and
thing
I think
about
Harivas
the Vedas.
Prabhu was also mentioning about why there was, I think why the Buddhists, you know, why that philosophy was
yeah.
also prevalent, you know,
yes.
because it was during that time.
Yes.
Yes.
When from.
That's true. That's why Buddha came, yeah,
yeah.
to reach out to the people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we. I didn't know what is the, at least from childhood we used to do at home. What I used to like about is the past tense there, right? There is Satyanarayan Puja only, right?
The story,
yeah,
the
religious
story.
Large stories,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I used to like that part. No?
But some
incidents. Some
yeah.
past
yeah.
tense, right?
One story in five parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some.
Five,
I used
stories,
to like that
yeah.
part actually.
One story.
But I didn't know ultimately,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what is
yeah.
the purpose
yeah.
of those things. But then after we got married, we went to
we
visit India.
Phases.
Then my parents, you know, they all know that only, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for them, it's a custom. After marriage, you have to do. After house, new house, you should
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
part of the thing. So they said, you know, you should do. So we thought, okay. I actually didn't know anything. I was thinking, oh, Satyanarayana means Narayana. Okay, maybe it's a service to Narayana. It's okay. So I sat through everything. At the end, when he started telling all this karma kanda, you know, you'll get this, you'll
get
that, you'll get children.
You'll
I was
get.
Like, oh, what is this? we are even doing the, you know, proper thing. We don't need all this. And then, okay, parents, that's what my mom, otherwise she'll tell, no, I'm getting headache, waiting to puja. Like, okay.
Okay, okay, one important, what do they call?
Sentiment.
No, no, not that one. Like
conclusion?
A, not conclusion, I would say. So, you know, now Satyanarayan Puja or whatever, it may not be a pure path to a devotional service, right? But you don't go and tell people that, you know, don't do Satyanarayan Puja. Don't disturb people. So the if you go even put a little bit disturbance in somebody's mind saying, you know, if they call you for Satyanarayan Puja, you cannot start telling, you know, oh, that's all, you know, it includes karma kanda process. You know, don't tell all those in the, you know, people because they may get disturbed.
Because they don't treat us as the authority.
Yeah, they
in
don't trade.
Not
they're
only that,
saying, right?
For them, that is beneficial maybe.
For them, it's a beneficial.
Their level.
Yeah.
But if somebody is very inquisitive and they may ask you, right?
Is
something
there anything
like
better or something?
Something, you know, some friends, especially close friends, you can always share. Who are ready to, you know, they're open and, you know, they're ready to listen to you. Because the Prabhupada gives a definition of violence means even causing little bit different disturbance in somebody's mind. That's also, it's a violence. It's not physically arming or hitting somebody. Even if you make their mind little bit agitated, that's also called violence.
More confused.
They become even more confused. So don't tell, especially, you know, it's a very easy to go and tell, you know, your relatives like sister or brother, you know, where we think, you know, they're listen to us. It's very easy to push them. So don't disturb them also.
Nothing is wrong. Whatever they're doing, just some intention is different. Level
yeah,
of
they will come to, at least they're doing something, right? That's
they stop that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can finish this small purport. At least. Everybody knows the timing.
But in India, I feel like, I don't know, till now we were not able to know that. Okay, what is the difference in between material and spiritual?
Because
you were just doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't get the education.
Obviously, there is one question on my head, which is it true, like in Satyanarayan Katha is also like, I mean, the God actually gets angry in that. In the whole story, like God gets angry in various things, and It is like scaring the hell out of you. Like, hey, if you don't do this, then.
So I don't. I never heard. I don't.
But that's all.
You are supposed to hear the story fully from you.
Yes.
You're not just to like do the puja. You have to do the puja and read the kanda.
If you're doing that karma kanda, you have to do it complete.
That's the last.
It's not like you can skip at 99.99%. No, you will get a reverse impact if you are skipping 0.1%. That's the.
So it's very.
It's not completely spiritual.
Then it's not.
It's actually got very very strong. Like, if you don't do this, then you know bad things happen to you.
But that is the
but all rituals are like that, right? I mean, all rituals.
Yes.
Are in that like
the same concept.
No, but yeah. nowhere else have I.
But
this is Narayana.
Or else, right?
No. Are we doing to Narayana? Actual Lord Narayana. This
Satya Narayana.
Is it different? Satyanarayana is different, Lord Narayana is different.
No, I'm not sure. Somebody told me actually.
Narayana
is not one of the bona fide.
Okay.
It's all about Bhagavan Sri Satyanarayana.
Okay, so, Prabhu. Okay, forget about Satyanarayana, we don't know much about that. But your question about whether Lord can become angry, that if you ask that question, we can answer that.
That is my question. Can Lord become angry?
Yeah.
If I don't do certain rituals.
No, not because of that.
Lord
can become angry because all the qualities are originally there in the Lord. By that principle, he can become angry, he can become loving, he can become affectionate, everything. Because we have that qualities, that means that Lord also has a quality. But the Lord is, as defined in Bhagavad Gita, is who is the Lord? How is the Lord relating to us? He is the well-wishing friend.
Yeah.
Right? Suhridam sarva bhutanam. So that is the definition of God we understand. It's not like a person who, you know, inspires fear in people. That's the God we know or we are trying to love is the God who is all lovable.
Yeah, that's why it's people have, you know, there's so much of screwed up the meaning. But anyway, so Aham Sarvasya, no, not that one. Aham Bija Pratapita.
Yeah.
So Lord is the seed giving father.
Yeah.
So will father will get angry, of course.
But for the
sure.
benefit
but
of
why
the child.
Why will the father get angry? For the benefit of the child. Not that, you know, he will make something bad or, you know, whatever you said,
to
bad
make,
reaction.
Not to make you suffer.
Not make you suffer. That you should know, because we're going to discuss that words.
Mm.
If you know Lord is the seed giving father, how can seed giving is the original father. So how can a father become, you know, treat you badly? Never. He always looks for your welfare. So that we should always remember. So I don't know this process. Yeah, as I said, it's all screwed up. So don't
see,
worry
that
about
verse
all
you can
that.
See 5.29.
Yeah. Bhoktaram vidya tapasam.
Yeah. Bhoktaram vidya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhridam sarvabhutanam nyatva mam shanti nichit. So this is actually called, this
peace
verse
formula.
Is called peace formula. So how to get peace? 5.29.
255.
How to get peace, right? A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifice and austerities. That means whatever sacrifice and austerities we do, ultimately is enjoyed by Krishna. Even if it's going through all these demigods, right? We do this puja, that puja, ultimately Krishna is enjoyed. This, because every time at the end they say Narayana Samarpam or whatever, right?
Kayana Vacha Manasendriva Bhutyatnava Prakriti Svabhava Paramyate Sakalam Tasmai Narayana Samarpam.
See, finally at the end of
the Supreme Lord of all, then next point is, that means he is a supreme enjoyer, okay? First point is supreme enjoyer.
And that this is
supreme
important.
Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, that means he is a supreme proprietor.
Mm.
That means everything is under his control.
Mm.
Next. The last one is the benefactor and well-wisher of all the living entities. That means he's a supreme well-wishing friend. So once somebody knows these three aspects about Krishna, then they will attain peace. How? Because when you know that he is a supreme enjoyer, we don't want to enjoy. We want to give pleasure to Krishna. When we know he's a supreme proprietor, we know we don't need to serve anybody else but to serve him. Because he's the one who owns everything. When we know he's a well-wishing friend, we know whatever happens to us is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how we attain peace in devotional service.
So it answers two or three questions. Prabhu's first, peace of mind. If you want to get peace of mind, we should understand this verse. Then Prabhu's also, his question is whether the God can wish you bad or, you know, treat you badly. He can never treat, right? It's a Bhagavad Gita.
So
you have a proof.
Time.
Benefactor and well-wisher. And the other one is, Prabhupada told, this, he used this verse as a peace formula. So whenever he had a discussion with, you know, all these politicians, so he used to give this verse as, you know, reference. If you follow this, you will never have, you know, the riots, fights between different countries and all. Basically, the United Nations was trying to form, I think that time only, right? 45 or 50 they formed, and that time they created. From that time, the flags were increasing, number of flags were increasing in the United Nations. It never reduced. Basically, they wanted to unite, but it never happens. It keeps increasing the number of flags. That means more division, more fragmentation. So he told, if you follow this formula, then you can unite all the nations together. So he always used this verse for reference.
Okay, let's read this purport.
Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti says, Samyak Adiyate Asmin Atma Tattva Yatatmiyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in Samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyments and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy.
So we will not get fixed mind. So the problem is, even if we look for sense enjoyment, material opulence, our mind is going to be always agitated. The Prabhu said that, I want peace of mind. So parallelly, if we try those things along with devotion service, then still we are not going to get peace of mind.
And what's wrong with the sense enjoyment and material opulence? You can try, what happens even if you try, what if you get it, what happens after that?
You're not satisfied.
Yes. So what is it
and
compared to?
Itch.
It's compared to a itch. What happens if you have itch? Itch.
It
becomes more. So sense enjoyment and material opulence are like that. It will never satisfy you. Once you get into it, it will keep going on.
Hopefully we will come to that conclusion one day. Then you can be resolute.
Okay, Hare Krishna.